We're beginning a brand new series today called Predictable Future. Predictable Future. Over the next 3 weeks, I want to talk to you about three decisions, I think, that if you'll make them, that you'll have a predictable future this year. You'll have a predictable outcome. Anybody predictable in the room, predictable people? You order, I'll let you know. Maybe you don't know. You're like, I don't know if I am. How many of you, you ordered this? You don't even need to see the menu. Okay, you're predictable, right? Like, you just know. When I go to that restaurant, that's what I'm getting. I do not understand people that go to Chick-fil-A and they're like, huh. I'm like, can you speed it up? It's chicken. It's not changed. Sometimes they put pimento on it. Sometimes they don't. But it's the same thing. You should know. You can get it grilled. You can get it fried. You can get it in a sandwich or nuggets or strips. Come on, just pick it. All right? Like, I'm predictable. I get the same thing every time. Every so often, I'll venture out. But it usually burns me. So I just go back to what I know. Anybody else in the house? You fine? Okay. You wear the same thing. Come on. I don't call predictability. I call it eliminating decisions I have to make. I don't get decision fatigue. I know I'm order this there. I don't have to think about it. I know I'm gonna wear this there. I don't have to think. Like a little Steve Jobs. Come on, everybody. Black pants, black shirt. You don't have to think about it. And you have to buy less wardrobe. Are y'all with me? I like a little predictability, right? And how many of you know that that there are things in life, you ever had this conversation or kind of thought this, observing something from a distance, like you can predict how a situation's gonna end, right? Maybe you've said this to somebody, I know where that road is leading, right? Like, I know if you keep making that decision, then you're going to end up at this destination. And usually we're saying that to the negative, right? If you keep doing that, this isn't going to turn out. Maybe you said that. This isn't going to turn out good. Maybe you said that to a child. You know, maybe you've said that to a family member. Maybe you've said that to somebody at work. Hey, if you keep doing this, this isn't going to turn out well. And the reason is because there are some things in life that are predictable. In a world where things are so unpredictable and you may not know what tomorrow is going to bring or the next day is going to bring, I'm going to tell you, there are some things in life that we know intrinsically that are predictable. If, let me give an example. If you don't save for the future, I don't need a crystal ball or to have any kind of information that you don't have to predict that you may not retire well, that you may end up working every day until it's your last day. Are y'all tracking with me? If you eat unhealthy every day, come on, if you take the Big Mac challenge and you do that every day for the rest of your days, I can predict that you're gonna be an unhealthy person. Are y'all tracking with me? And usually these predictable things, it isn't because I have information that you don't have. It's just common sense in some areas that if you keep going down that road, it's kind of like this over break. We somehow got into this show that would show, or this television program that would show like bad car accidents. Anybody else, like, you can't look away? Like, you know what's coming. You're like, you're about to get in a bad, like, you're about to flip your car or you're about, but you're like, I just keep watching this. And then the next episode, and I just keep watching. It was like, I binge these. But we all know, like, you make that decision, you're going to end up at that destination. I want to propose that on the positive, it's true too. That there are some things in life that if you will make disciplined, I know that's a bad word for some people. If you will make disciplined decisions, you will have a predictable outcome. And I don't know about you, but there's some areas in my life where I want some predictable outcomes. I want some predictable outcomes financially in my life. And I know that if there are some disciplined decisions that I will make over a long period of time, I will have some predictable outcomes financially. I want predictable outcomes in my health, and I can't control all of it, but I do know that if I will make some disciplined decisions over a long period of time in the same direction, that I will have some predictable outcomes in my life. Are y'all tracking with me? Yeah. I know that in my thinking, that if I will make some predictable decisions or some disciplined decisions, I will have some certain outcomes. And I don't propose to know what to counsel you all the way on financial or career or that, but I do know some spiritual decisions that if you will make them disciplined decision consistently over time this year, that this will be the best year you've ever had. Because I'm fully convinced that if you'll make it the best year spiritually you've ever had, it'll be the best year you've ever had. Everybody's saying Happy New Year. I don't know if you'll have a Happy New Year, but I do know the pathway to a Happy New Year. And it's that if you will make some disciplined decisions, and these are three choices that you've got to make, God can't make for you. Some of you are waiting on God to do something. I believe God sometimes is waiting on you to do some things. And that if you'll make these decisions over this next year, I promise you, it'll be the best year spiritually you've ever had. And if it's the best year spiritually you've ever had, I believe it'll be the best year that you've had. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. And this is the choice that you've got to make, not in theory, but in practice, not in thought, but in action. And it is this, it's the choice of whether or not you will put God first. I know it doesn't sound like rocket science, and most of the time it isn't. Most of the time, the things that we really want in life aren't hard things, they're disciplined things. It's not rocket science. It's not that somebody has discovered something that you and I haven't discovered. No, if I eat less sugar and more greens, I'm gonna get healthy. It's not rocket science. Are you following me? If I spend less than I make, then I'll begin to create margin and have savings. It's not rocket science. It's just some people aren't willing to do the disciplined things that get them to the destination that they really want. Are y'all tracking with me? And so the choice you have to make is to put God first. And I would propose that God, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, is trying to communicate to us that if you'll put me first, things will order in your life a lot better. That if you'll really put me first, not just like talk about putting me first, not just theoretically, mentally assent to the idea that, yeah, God should be first in my life, but if you actually practically put in the processes, decisions, systems, and actions in your life that put God first in your life, then this will be the best year that you've had. Are you with me? But it's a disciplined decision you've got to make. But I'll tell you this, if you'll put God first in your life, then this I can predict. I don't have some prophetic gift. This isn't a genie in a bottle, but I can predict based on the word of God, this will be the best year spiritually that you've ever had. And I would propose that from beginning to end, God has been the business of trying to get us to put him first. If you're with me, say amen. Let's start in Genesis 1:1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. Before there was anything, God was. And after everything passes away, God will be. Before in the beginning was God. In other words, very first, there was who? Come on, every campus, say it with me. In the beginning, there was what? God was first. Before anything else was created, before anything else was existed, what existed? God existed, he was first. Exodus 20, verse 1-3 says this, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I don't want anything else before me. I wanna be what? I wanna be first. Okay, everybody say it together. I wanna be first. I wanna be first in your life. That nothing else is before me. I want to be the very first in your life. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor God with everything you own. Everything about you, give him the what? Everybody say it together. Give him the first. And the what? Best. Not the leftovers. Not God, if I have enough energy left after everything else I've done in my life. No, I'm talking about this will be the best year that you've ever had. I can predict you'll have joy, you'll have peace, you'll have abundance, you'll have blessing in your life. But the only way that you're gonna have that is if you reorder your life. I'm talking about a complete restructure of your life. I'm talking about you completely reorganize your life to where your schedule shows God is first, to where your actions show God is first, to not where it is just a mental thing or a heart thing, but where if I were to look at your calendar, it would go, oh, God's first in your life. If I were to look at your budget, it would say, God's first in your life. If I were to look at everything that you do, you would go, no, 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 God is first in my life. Matthew 6:33, maybe you've heard this one, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. In the context of that verse, it's talking about, do you see a frog worrying about a lily pad it'll jump on? It's talking about all the things that we spend all of our time on. We order our lives usually around making sure that we have care and that we have covering and that we have food and that we have clothing, and none of that is bad. But God is saying, you worry about the wrong thing, and then when worry overwhelms you, then you finally come to me. But if you would flip your life and seek me first, then I would take care of all the things that you're stressed about. If you would completely restructure your life. But isn't this how we work? We work ourselves silly. We stress about provision. And then we finally come to God and we're writing on our cards, I need financial provision and I need marriage issues fixed and I need, and God goes, no, no, no. If you would reorder your life and go seek me first, put me first in your marriage, put me first in your finances, put me first in your prayer life, put me first in your work, put me first in your parenting, put me first in every area of your life, then all these other things that you're worrying about would begin to fall in order because you got the first thing right. All things aren't well that end well. All things are well that start well. If you don't start well, you don't end well. Doesn't matter the destination if you don't start right. If something's broken on the start, then you never make it to the destination. Tammy and I were on a flight on a Friday of this week. Got up in the air out of Atlanta. Got my movie started. I was done reading and working. My mind was tired. And about 10 minutes in, the captain comes on. He goes, I hate to tell you this, but I had a maintenance issue. And we've done all the troubleshooting we know to do. We called back to Atlanta, and they want us to turn around, come back. So we turn around, and we come back, and maintenance comes on, and they go, well, we're grounding this plane. We need to move you to another plane. And we're like, this is awesome. Not all's well that ends well. We didn't start well, which affected our ability to end well. We didn't end up starting until the time we were supposed to already be landed in D.C. Are you following me? Because we didn't start well. It's not, well, I hope it all works out in the end. No, no, no. It's how it begins that matters. If you start in the wrong direction, you'll never make it to the destination. Are y'all tracking with me? I'm talking about a reordering of your life. It's a choice that you have to make, and God won't make it for you. And you'll have the same year. You'll have a repeat of last year this year if you don't reorder something. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. You'll have a repeat. And if you want something different, you've got to do something different. And I would propose that you can have a predictable future if you put God first, but it's a choice that you'll make. If you completely reorder your life around him first. And I want to challenge you to do it in four areas. So listen fast. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm gonna challenge you in four very specific practical areas. Super, this may be the most practical message you've heard in a while. Number one is this, is give God the first of your day in the word, worship, and prayer. What does first look like? I'm gonna give you, this is what it looks like. I'm gonna give God the first of my day. The first of my day in the word, worship, and prayer. The Bible says this in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It said, very early in the morning, some of you are already like, dear Jesus, help me. He will. While it was still dark, you're like, oh Lord. I was calculating early as 7. I had a mentor that used to tell me, I don't know how God will ever use you if you sleep past 6. I was like, wow, okay. Says Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. If the Son of God needed time with the Father before he began his day, how much more do you and I need it? I'm gonna give you the first of my day. How would it change your day and your perspective on your day if you'd met with Jesus before you meet with your boss? If you met with Jesus before you saw your children, hello, somebody. Would maybe that breakfast routine be a little more spirit-filled? Come on, let's just talk practically for a minute. Would maybe your attitude be a little bit better if you were like, no, I met with Jesus before that? Psalms 5, verse 3 says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait expectantly. God, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna give you the first of my day. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Let me give you a really simple place to start. 15 minutes. I'm gonna worship for 5 minutes. Come on, I'm gonna get on Spotify. I got some LifePoint worship on YouTube. I got you. You have enough resources at your fingertips that there is no excuse to go, God, I'm just gonna put on a song and I'm gonna set my heart right. I'm gonna spend 5 minutes in your word. And there is a plethora of Bible reading plans and opportunities. YouVersion app, open the scriptures. I'm gonna read a psalm. I'm gonna read a chapter. I'm gonna do something to open up your word. And then I'm gonna spend 5 minutes in prayer, 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Can I give you just a real easy? I'm gonna wake up, we'll make the coffee. I'm gonna 15 minutes. 15 minutes before everybody else gets up. 15 minutes before everybody starts stirring. And maybe you so long for that time that it grows, but could you start at 15? I promise you, if you will reorder your life to put Jesus first in your day, it'll transform your day. Number two, I'm gonna give God the first of my week by being in the house of God. I'm gonna start off my week by giving God the first of my week. Why does this matter, Pastor? Why is it? The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling or the coming together. God, I'm gonna give you the first of my week by being in the house of God, by being together with other believers, by worshiping together, by receiving the word of God. I'm gonna consistently make it my patterns, consistently make it my routine that I'm in the house of God, worshiping together with the people of God. The Bible says this in Luke 4, that Jesus, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, look at that last place, as was his custom. This is the guy that we follow. Not only did he get up and give God the first of his day, he communed with the Father, but he was consistently in the house of God, worshiping, being with other believers, reading the scriptures. It's important in your walk with God. It's important with your walk with God. Listen to me. You not only need to eat weekly, daily, feeding your soul, opening the word of God for yourself, but you need to come together corporately. There is what is called, I believe, a corporate anointing or a corporate like presence of God that as we gather together and God meets with us, the Bible says there's something powerful about where two or three are together in his name, that he meets them there. I can't explain it, but he meets with us in a way when we're together that he does not meet with us when we are alone. And he meets with us in a way that we are alone that he does not meet with us when we are together. Are you following me? And it's not either or, it's both and. I've heard people tell me, I don't need church. Me and Jesus got my own thing. No, you don't have your own thing. You only have God's thing. And God's instruction is meet with me daily. And God's instruction is meet with me corporately. I'm gonna give God the first of my week of being in the house of God. It's your choice. But I can predict your future if you don't come to the house of God. And it's usually not good. I've just been doing this long enough. 30 years of doing this. And I watch people begin to not serve. And I watch people begin to get inconsistent with their walk with God. And then I watch their life begin to unravel. Because God used to be here and he gets moved down and down and down and down and down. I'm just telling you, it's predictable. Just like I tell my kids, your friends keep making that decision, I can tell you where they're gonna end up. I can tell you the decisions you make spiritually, where you'll end up. It's predictable. It's like gravity. It's predictable. Number three, I'm gonna give God the first of my month with my tithe and offering. We'll give God the first of my month with my tithe and my offering. My tithe is simply 10% of what God has given to me. and you sow that into whatever house, whatever storehouse the Bible uses that language, where you are being fed and you're being ministered. If this isn't it, then do that somewhere else. If you're busy, do that somewhere else. This isn't a need message. Are you following me? Thank God we have such a generous church. I've never preached on generosity from a place of need, ever. And we live with a whole lot of margin because I never want to be in that position. But I'm gonna give God the first of my month. What does that do? Every time that, for Tammy and I, every time that our paycheck is direct deposited, I text to give on that day. What does it do? It puts God first in my finances. It aligns my heart to go, God, this material stuff doesn't have me. I have it. And I'm a steward of it. And God, whatever you put in my hands is a gift from you, and I hold it loosely. I came in the world with nothing. I will leave the world with nothing. There is no U-Haul behind a hearse. I'm gonna steward it wisely. I'm gonna be as good as I can. I'm gonna prepare for the next generation, all those things as much as I can. Yes, I'm gonna do that, but I'm gonna live with an open hand. And what does that do? Every month when I bring my tithe and then over and above, I bring my kingdom builder offering every month to the Lord. What does it do? It gets my heart aligned. God, you're first. You're first in every area of my life. Deuteronomy 14, 23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in, everybody say it together loudly, in first place in your life. That's why he gave us this instruction. Why? So God would be first in every area of our life. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? I'm talking about a complete reorder of your life. Now if you want church to be a box that you check off and something that kind of gives you a little feel good, then just showing up every so often and you'll get some of that. If you want it just to be a little like goosebump thing and you want to hear somebody sing and you like the music, and then do that. But I'm talking about if you want this to be the best year spiritually you've ever had, then it's going to be a reordering of your life to go, God, I'm going to put you first in every area of my life and see the blessing of God flow in my life. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 12 says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The whole tithe, the whole 10% into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And what is the test? And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't be able to contain it. It's the only time God tells you to test him. Don't test him in any other area. But he says, in this area, you can test me and see if I won't do it. I'm just challenging you to test him and see if God won't do it. Finally, number four is this. I'm gonna put God first in the year through prayer and fasting. I'm gonna put God first in my year through prayer and fasting. In other words, I'm gonna set aside the first of this year and say, God, I'm gonna put you first through prayer and through fasting. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. But here's the context of that. If you're with me, say amen. Here's the context of that. Before that, Jesus prayed and fasted. He prayed and fasted, and then the power of God came upon him to do the ministry that God had called him to do. Can I tell you, there are things that God is calling you to do this year that you need the power of God on your life to be able to do. Come on, I don't know about you, but I need the power of, I'm just gonna get real practical. I need the power of God on my life to parent this year. I need the power of God on my life to be a husband this year. I'm not even talking about the ministry stuff that I do. I need the power of God on my life to be a son this year. I need the power of God on my life to be a friend this year. I need the power of God, yes, on my life to be a pastor this year and a leader and all the other things that are in my buckets of responsibility. But I need the power of God. And I know, God, I don't fast because it's something we do as a church. I fast at the beginning of the year to go, God, I want to put you first because I know there's opportunities and I know there's doors you're going to open and I know there's things you're going to do in and through my life that I don't even know about. I ain't even seen them yet. They ain't even come my way yet, God. But I know I'm going to need the touch of God on my life. And so I'm going to set aside this time to seek you through prayer and through fasting. Some of you, you've never done that. I want to encourage you over these next, come on, 12 days. You can do 12 days. You can do 12 days. Here's what fasting does. Fasting something in your life decreases the world and increases the voice of God. That's what you're doing. You're saying, God, I'm making a decision to starve certain appetites so that I can increase my appetite for you. And so there's a lot of different ways to fast. I encourage food fast because usually that's one of our greatest appetites. Some of you, there's all kinds of resources on our website for this, but you could do a food fast. I've done different liquid fasts only, water and coffee. I have fasted coffee. I really felt impressed to the Lord, but I gotta feel really impressed. Some of you just, you'll fast down to certain foods. I'm only gonna eat this and that. I'm only gonna eat vegetables for the next 12 days and everything else is cut out and I'm gonna starve them. So here's what I'll go ahead and tell you. Up until about day 3, you're gonna realize how strong your appetites are. But you get to day 4 and you start to not care anymore. And you start to experience the presence of God in ways you've never have in your life. And that appetite just grows. And you just go, God, I just want more. You don't even think about the Twix you're not eating. You don't even think about, come on somebody, you don't even think about the steak you didn't have. All you're thinking about is, I feel God in a way I've never felt him. I hear clearly in a way I've never heard before. I want more of this. You begin to get hungry for a new thing. It's for the presence of God in your life. I want to challenge you to participate. Some of you, maybe you have medical issues where you can't fast completely in food areas. Maybe you would do what we'd call a soul fast. Maybe you would delete all your social media apps on your phone. Maybe you'd cut off the news. Maybe you've determined, I'm going to cut off every voice in my life except the voice of God over these next 12 days. I'm just going to shut it down. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to post about it. I'm not going to be like selfie at prayer this morning. No, I'm going to get... Nobody needs to know what I'm doing. Only God needs to know. I'm going to shut out some things in my life. Why? Because I want to increase this appetite for God. I want to increase my hunger for God. Listen to me. You can have a predictable future. Your spiritually can be predictable. I don't know what events will happen, but I can predict your future. If you will spiritually put God first, it'll be the best year you've ever had. Put him first in your day. We'll seek him 15 minutes a day. We'll add this as a discipline in my life. I'm gonna give him the first of my week. I'm gonna consistently be in the house of God. Unless something just comes up that keeps me from it, I'm gonna be in the house of God. And even then, I'm gonna get online. I'm gonna give him the first of my month. I'm gonna return the tithe and give the offering. I'm gonna put him the first of my year by prayer and by fasting. I promise you, it'll be the best year you've ever had. And you'll hunger for God in a way you've never hungered. You'll hear God in a way you've never heard him. You'll have a joy that you've never had. You'll have peace that all these other things you've been seeking can't give you. If you'll reorder your life to put him first. On your way out today, you're going to get a bracelet. I want you to wear it, and it says, pray first. It's just a reminder over these next 12 days. God, I'm putting you first. Putting you first in every area of my life, but I'm gonna definitely put you first in prayer. In these next 12 days, church, I believe God's gonna do miracles. Some of you need a physical healing, and God's gonna give it to you over these next 12 days. I've seen it. Some of you, you need a marriage restored, and God's gonna do it. God's gonna begin the miracle. The miracle's gonna happen in these 12 days, and I believe the miracle's gonna get in motion in these next 12 days. As you put God first, in every area of your life. Come on, do you receive the word today? Is that helpful? Hey, let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you, the step you need to take is you've never put God first in the sense of him being your Lord and your Savior. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus, and today's your day to do that. What a better way to start 2024 than to say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. The Bible says that we've all sinned, and as I always say, that's not a condemning statement, it's the reality of the human condition, that we're all far from God without Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus came and he died on the cross, lived the perfect life you and I could never live, died the death we deserved, and paid for our sins. And you don't have to live your life trying to give your best to please God. God was pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus. What you have to do is by faith come and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I surrender my life to you and make you my Lord and my Savior. And the Bible says that if you'll confess that with your mouth and you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And today can be a day of brand new beginnings for you. Maybe you're here and you're uncertain about your relationship with Jesus. Today's your day to make it certain. Maybe you're here and you would have taken the label of a Christian, but you know in your heart you're far from God. But today's your day to come close to him. The Bible says if you'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. So in just a moment, we're going to pray together. And in this prayer, we're just me simply helping you communicate to God what we just said, that you're making him the Lord and the Savior of your life today. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I need that new beginning today. The Bible says if anybody's in Christ, they're a brand new creation. All things pass away and everything becomes new. So if that's you today, you need that new beginning, that fresh start. When I get to three, I just want you to shoot your hand up high enough, long enough for me to see. Or one of your campus pastors, just want to know who we're praying with. No one's going to come to you or embarrass you. And then we're going to pray. On three, you just shoot your hand up high enough, long enough. And then we'll pray. One, two, three. You just shoot it up high. God bless you. God bless you. I see you in the very back. Beautiful. Beautiful. You can put it down. Church, let's pray this together out loud for the benefit of those who just slipped their hand up. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made that decision. Beautiful.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.